morning, this sermon is called Pouring Out Hot Coals.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Lord, would you open the eyes of our hearts? Would you help us to understand your Word? Holy Spirit, we're going to ask that you would enlighten us individually for this service. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. And we want to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. How many of you truly want to hear from God today? You want to hear from what God has to say? I hope you didn't come to hear what I had to say. Because I want to hear what God has to say to us today. Isn't that the reason that we come to fellowship together? I know it's not because you come to look and see how good looking I am today, right? In my purple shirt. How many of you ladies like my purple shirt? Laura did good. All right, guys, how many of you like my purple shirt? Couple of you, all right. Now, I'm not getting weird here or anything, all right? It's all right. Praise God. You know, I love you all, and I love you enough to bring you the truth of God's Word. And it doesn't matter whether we get convicted of something that we hear. We need that. We need that because that's what God's heart is. Whom the Lord loves, He gives them everything they want, right? Is that what the scriptures say? How many of you like it to say that? No. Whom the Lord loves, He does what? He chastens you. He beats you. Because a lot of us need beaten, right? I mean, a lot of us need that. And so whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And that's a very nice word for He beats you. Okay? And again, you go back to the proverb writer and it says, you know, he that spares the rod spoils the child. And again, that's a fancy way of saying he that does not beat his child. Now, I'm not talking about abusing. I'm talking about discipline. And discipline is very important. It's important for families. It's important for kids because if kids are able to do whatever they want, it spoils them. But God says the same with His children. If we're able to do just whatever we want and we treat God like a vending machine. Well, God, today I want this. I want $1 million. I want 2,500. I want this. I want that. I want that. And God just says, okay, here you go. Here you go. That is not going to help us at all. So I love it. Again, one of the things that we never have to teach children is how to say no. I mean, it's just an automatic thing for them. Even at 1.5, you know, Laura sees, meets with Jax all the time, our youngest grandson, and his favorite word is no. But he doesn't say it just once, he says it 3 times. You ask him to do something, he says no, no, no. And he did that with Pawpaw. Jax, do this. No, no, no. I said, yes, yes, yes. And so God is wanting to discipline us through His Word. And I want that to happen today as we learn a little bit more. This week, we are not going to continue the series on humility. And some of you are glad. But I pray that those words change us. That we are walking before our God as humble individuals. because that's how God can use us, that's how God can bless us. But this message, it's interesting that God, in so far this year, has been pouring out messages that kind of go along with each other. And what God is trying to teach us as a people is that He wants us to change. He wants us to look deep inside and to change who we are. And not be proud and say, well, it's just the way I am. You're not changing it. And we tell people that. How many of you have ever said that before? Just to show of hands, to say, well, that's just the way I am. Come on now. Oh, we've got one. It's good to have you today with us. Come back, okay? And where was I? Okay. It's very important that we listen to what God is telling us and that we change. Don't be that proud individual that says, well, it's the way I've always been and it's the way that I'm always going to be. Years ago, and I've told this story countless times, I was working as a radio personality in Christian radio, and this guy came on. I'm not going to tell you what denomination or whatever, but it was an older fella, and he said, well, I've always been this denomination. I've always believed this way, and I'm always going to be this denomination, even when I get to heaven. Somebody forgot to tell that preacher there's not going to be denominations in heaven. It's called the body of Christ. And then he went on to say, and this is the way that I feel about things, and I'll never change. Be careful of that. Because God is looking for change. Would you go with me as we begin today's sermon, Romans chapter 12. And if you don't have your Bibles, Brother Rick will have it up here on the screen. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul giving instruction to the Roman church on how they ought to conduct themselves as believers. And he says many things in here, but I want to start in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Interesting passage of scripture there. How many of you, your toes are already beginning to hurt? Key verse that I want to go to, there's several things in here. Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. This morning, this sermon is called Pouring Out Hot Coals. Now, this particular passage of scripture has baffled a lot of people for a lot of years, especially this entire business where he first starts out and says, you know what, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him. Because then you're going to pour out coals of fire upon that dude's head. Now, many people in our Western society, we do not understand what this verse is talking about. We're going to be really looking into that. Many times the very first thing that we think in our Western United States mentality is we come up with something like this as wonderful nice people that we are and Christian people that we are. And we come up with phrases like this: we'll kill them with kindness. Because when we do that, we'll burn their heads. How many of you have ever used that? I'm going to kill them with kindness. Get ready, because this is not God's heart when it comes to what this verse is talking about. Because in our Western way of thinking as well, you know, we're just going to be so kind to them and then God's going to get them. Now let me ask you this, is that the heart of God? And even though we don't think about this thing, we may not think deep about this, well, we're just going to kill them with kindness. We're going to dig a little deeper into this and find out why that particular phrase is not what God's heart is here in this matter. See, we have to stay in context of what this entire thing is talking about. And let's look at that. Let's look at some of the things that it says here in verse 18 and 19. Number one, it tells us to live peaceably with all men. Some of us don't like that, right? Because there's some people that we do not want to live in peace with. Because we don't like them. We don't like the way they act. We don't like the way they talk. And we just say to them, I don't like you. And some Christians get real spiritual and say, you know what? I love you, but I just don't like you. Because the Bible tells me I have to love you. Are you really loving them? That's the question that God asks us. Man, it got awful quiet in here, Brother Rick. Are we really loving them? Living peaceably. Number two, don't avenge yourself. Well, that's a really King James way of saying, don't get back at others. And here's the phrase that we always hear. All right, you did that to me, but when you're least expecting it, you're going to get it. How many of you ever said that? Not the heart of God here. Because this says, avenge not yourselves. Yeah, but Pastor, somebody has to do something about it. I mean, it's a matter of principle. Anybody ever said that? It's a matter of principle, and God's choosing me to do it. We laugh. But a lot of times we think that we're the ones that should be taking care of things. You know, years ago, before the Lord began to really deal with me on this business, especially when it came to road things and driving, okay, where people would do something or cut you off or, you know, they'd do something and, man, you'd get right up on their bumper. I'll show them. What they did was wrong. Somebody needs to tell them that what they did was wrong. And we ride our bumpers. You know, when I was younger, I was so tempted to go to a pawn shop one time because I saw they had this little light thing that you could throw on the top of your car. Come on now. Anybody been there before where you just feel, man, I'll show them. Okay? And that's not good. See, people do things to us and we think it's our job to take care of it. But that goes directly against what he says, don't avenge yourself. Let God do that. Yeah, but God's not big enough to do it. He can't handle this situation. I will handle it. That's a bad thing to say, right there. Number three, stay far from anger. Did you see that one? Oh my, it's getting quiet in here. Because the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Is it our job to fix all the things that people do to us? It is not our job. And some people say, yeah, but I'm not just going to lay down and let people do things to me. I have to get back at people. No. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. How many of you understood that? Come on, Ray. Did you understand vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? I will repay. So whose job is it? It is God's job. Thank you. Now, the Apostle Paul did not just come up with this saying on his own. Okay? This whole saying about if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Because then coals of fire will come upon him. He didn't just make that up. The Apostle Paul pulled that from Old Testament scripture. And I want you to go back to it. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews oftentimes quotes from the Old Testament, and so does the Apostle Paul here. And he picks up this, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. And if you look at this, you're going to see exactly the same thing. The writer of Proverbs says, if your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. So we see two things here. Number one, it's God's job to take care of vengeance. Number two, it's God's job to repay those that do this, where they feed the hungry, the thirsty, even if they're their enemies. So, where else do we see this kind of teaching? How about Jesus himself? Let's go there, Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to be looking all of these scriptures because we want to look at the whole counsel of God's Word, do we not? That's what Rhonda was talking about earlier. We want to look at what God's heart is in this. So Jesus, Messiah, is teaching this in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43, and he's teaching these folks, he says, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now that's very interesting to me, because he's telling these people, what you have been taught is to love your neighbor, or the one that's good to you, and hate your enemy. That was never in the Old Testament. That was never there. So how did they come up with that? They learned it on their own. See, we are really good at coming up with things that fit us. People are really good at that. Have you noticed that? And then somewhere along the line, it becomes doctrine to us, even though it's not true. And we live our lives that way. Jesus said, you've heard that, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you are accepting this right now? Because when you tell this to some folks, they immediately say, I don't like that. I don't like this idea. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Someone is cursing you to your face. What do you want to do? Oh, thank you, Charlotte. She said, because you know what? Our initial flesh man stands up right there and says, I don't know who you think you are, but you don't know who I am. You don't talk to me that way. Come on, is it true or not? But Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies, Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you pray for the individual that cuts you off in traffic? Huh? How many of you pray for those who use you and persecute you? You know, that's one of the very best things. God dealt with me on that whole road rage business. That when somebody does something like that, the very first thing God told me to do is begin to pray for them. And begin to pray for those that are out ahead of them. And when you truly begin to pray for somebody, that takes away that carnal man and that nature to say, I gotta do something about that. Because God just wipes it away. God wipes it away, folks, I'm telling you. We're going to continue on here. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans or the tax collectors and the sinners do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't even the publicans and tax collectors do so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What makes us different? The love of God. When we do not allow what the normal person of us wants to do. We do not allow it. And please don't tell me I can't help myself. It's just who I am. Because we can. I know a lot of people that are not saved, and probably some that are, and there are habits that they have, things that they do, things that they say, cursing or whatever, but somehow or another when I'm around, they don't do it. How is that possible if you can't change? Yes. You can. And so you cannot use the excuse, I can't change, it's just who I am. Because we can, and this is what God is asking us to do. This whole counsel of God, we really need to see what this whole pouring out coals actually means. Now, through the years, again, I told you this has been something that many scholars and those that have, they make commentaries on things, and they've come up with several different things here, okay? And I'm going to tell you what some of these thought processes are. So, some commentators and people over the years have said that this is actually a mean thing. To pour out coals onto someone's head, because the person that the coals are being poured out on may feel something like this. Well, now I feel like a scum being your enemy, and you've been kind to me. Now I hate you even more for making me feel bad. Listen, it doesn't matter. Now, let me just tell you this, that if you are kind, if you feed somebody, you give them something to drink when they're thirsty, you may not believe this, but some people will not change even though you do that. Because you may be thinking, I'm just going to kill them with kindness, right? Because they're going to change. God's going to make them change. God's going to pour hot coals on their head and make them change. They're going to see it my way. It doesn't happen like that all the time. Some, when you are doing good things for them and giving them food when they are hungry and thirsty, they're still going to turn around and hate you. Okay, the other one here, number two, a way of protecting yourself is how some commentators have made this verse look. It would go something like this. Someone carrying hot coals on their heads. Okay, this is the way that they used to do it. Someone carrying hot coals on their head. I like this. Can't, in other words, they can't, someone can't come up to you and punch you because you got hot coals on your head. And if they punch you, you're going to dump those hot coals on their head. That's how some commentators have interpreted this. I don't go with that one. I don't go with the first one either. Here's a third one. It's a cleansing thing for the enemy. My wickedness is burned away by your kindness, and I'll not be your enemy anymore. Some of us would like that one, right? Your kindness has just burned away all of my hatred towards you. Now, sometimes that actually does work. When you are kind to someone who is continually mean to you, sometimes that actually does work, but not all the time. The fourth one, it's a fire of love, where that individual that is treating you harshly would say, I deserved to be treated like an enemy, but you've treated me as a friend. Your loving action has changed my mind about you. I now like you. Now that's the warm and fuzzy. We all would like that to be the case. But I want to really look at this. What does it mean? And when you go back, and I have studied this and looked at all the aspects of it, in ancient Israel and in ancient times, the only way that their homes were heated was by coal. They would dig this coal out and use this coal to burn and to keep their homes warm. They would also use it for cooking. So we have just one example of this is found in Jeremiah and 36, verse 22, and Rick can throw that up there. And we're not going to use this in context, but you can just see the king. This was during Jeremiah's time, and Jeremiah was with him. He was sitting in his winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth that was burning, or another word for this is a fire pan. That was there and used. So this is the way that they heated their homes. And whether you know it or not, in Israel, there are some very cold temperatures that take place. Jerusalem gets cold. Up in the mountains, it gets cold and snowy up there. And several other places. And so, put yourself in this situation. If you are in your home and you run out of coals, hot coal, what is going to happen to you? You're going to freeze. And so this really is a matter of life and death. And this is what this is talking about in Proverbs and what the Apostle Paul repeats. He says, even if it's your enemy, I want you to look at, go back, and I want you to look particularly carefully now at the verse in Proverbs chapter 25. Go back there again, and I want you to look at this. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. This is not a suggestion here for the people of God. Because God was telling his people, you do not let another human being, whether it's your enemy or whether it's your good friend neighbor, you do not let them die because they don't have the necessities that they need. God loves people. And you may say, well, God doesn't love them. They are evil. They are doing things they ought not to be doing. And God says, no, no, no. No, no, no. You do not. I don't care who it is. If they are a human being, you make sure that they have what is necessary for them to live. Did you get that? Because look at the very next verse. This is actually a command here. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. In other words, you will give them what they need to keep themselves alive. This is not a suggestion that God is asking us as his people to do. Well, if you feel like it, you know, if you see somebody that you say, oh man, I can't stand them. I know they're in trouble. They're over there laying there dying, but I don't care. I don't like them. I hate them. That's not what God says. You go take care of them. And it makes no difference, because this is what this is talking about here, is that if their fire goes out in their homes, that could be death to them. And God does not want his people saying, well, oh, well, que sera, sera, whatever happens, happens. If they die, they die. Who cares? God says, my people should care. So I want you to think about this very heavily on those that persecute you, those that are mean to you. We are to do this because this is the heart of God. To give what is necessary for them. Even though they may treat you like dirt. They may treat you horribly. We are to make sure that this is in effect in what God's heart is here. You shall heap coals of fire. You shall give them what they need. James, the brother of Jesus, in his letter, he says, if you see a brother or sister in need, and you say, go and be fed, go and be well, he says, your faith is in vain. Unless you do something about it. Now I want you to look at the rest of that. And the Lord shall reward you. It doesn't matter how the evil person responds to you. And don't expect them to get all warm and fuzzy and say, oh, I just love you so much now. Wow, you know, you were so kind to me. And that just changed me. Yeah, that's a warm and fuzzy, and we'd all like to see that. But it's not going to happen all the time. Young people, listen to me. In school, do you guys have something called bullies? Yep. We got one person shaking their head there, right? There are bullies that are out there. And it's very important that we understand this whole concept that really a bully is just trying to win. So, Jesus gives us the examples here, and even adults have bullies. At work, and places that we go, there are bullies. And the whole idea really is that they're trying to win. So, if you have a bully that says, I hate you. You're ugly. And you come back and you say, oh yeah? Well, I think your nose is huge and ugly. Never thought about that one. And now the bully comes back with something even better. And the more this continues to go, the bigger it gets. And the bully is enjoying the game. Because they're only out to win. But when it comes down to this, if we don't feed, the bully has nothing to eat. And so, you know, somebody is persecuting you. This says, bless those that persecute you. And somebody might say to you, you know what? I hate your guts. I can't stand the way that, you know, you smile all the time. And instead of coming back at them, you just simply say what? You know, I'm so glad you noticed that. Right? Is there anything that I can help you with? Now, a bully's not expecting that. But Jesus is very clear. And I want to go there in Luke chapter 6 as we finish this off this morning. And understanding exactly, pouring out hot coals means we are pouring out the things that are necessary for our enemies so that they do not die. Listen, it is not God's will that any man should perish. And it should never be the heart of a Christian to say, God, go get them. Pour out hot coals on their head and burn it off so it looks like Pastor Jerry's head. That's not what this is talking about. Yet there's so many believers that say, well, if I'm just kind to them, the Lord's going to burn them with hot coals. Because vengeance is the Lord's. That's not what this is talking about. Luke chapter 6 now. Great, great chapter here. And I want you to start in verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also unto them likewise. How many of you know what that's called? The golden rule. And as you would that men should do to you, you do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners even do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Oh, man, that flies in the face of some of us, right? Well, I'll lend this to you, but I'm keeping track of it. And you better repay. How many of you know what that causes when you lend something to somebody and they don't pay you? What's that cause? Animosity. What else? Come on, let's just say it. I get mad, right? Because you made me a promise, Patty, and you didn't pay me back. She didn't. I don't know why she sits on the row here. Yeah. That's why Lisa sits over there. Be careful of this, friend. Hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. See, we get all upset when people don't pay us back. But why? Because God says, I will reward you. I will repay you. Don't worry about this. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Did you see that? God's heart is towards people. He loves people, even the wicked. He wants them to change and to come to him. Some of us would like God to destroy the wicked people right now. We want God just to take them off, destroy them. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you, before you got saved, did some evil stuff? What if God had wiped you out? Be you therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it will be measured to you again. Now, most of us like to use that verse in the context of money. If I give, it'll be given back to me again. And so many preachers use that verse for that particular reason. Give, 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 and it will be given to you again. What was he just talking about? Loving the sinners and loving your enemies, doing good to your enemies. Now put it in context. If you give that, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. Your coals will always be burning when you give that to others, especially your enemies. So this whole business, God is working on us as His children, that we are not all that. And that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we think of the wicked person. They're just evil, no good for nothings. God loves them. And He wants to give them the opportunity to come to Him. So I challenge you this morning. When you turn on the news and you see certain individuals on the news, some of you already, your hair is going up on the back of your neck. And you say, they're just evil. They're just evil. And maybe they are. But that should not be the heart of you as God's child. To say, God, go get them. Take care of them. Heard people pray, oh Lord, we pray for our leader. I'm not going to say which one, right? God, you said vengeance is yours. So God, right now, would you take care of them? God is not going to hear that. Because it's not the whole counsel of His Word. So be very, very careful here with those that you consider your enemy. Because God's heart is totally opposite. He wants you to pour out hot coal, which is life-sustaining to them. Pray for their salvation. That's life. Without that, they die. And if you have the attitude, well, I don't care whether they die and go to hell, that's not God's heart. And you need to check your heart if that's what you're thinking. And let God work with you. There's processes that God goes through because, again, you know, when I was a younger man, I thought it was my job to go get people and to make them pay for what they did. It isn't my job. That's God's job. My job is to do this because give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Press down. Shaken together. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Father, thank you for your word today. I just bless you, Lord, that you chastise us when we need it. Continue to do that, Lord. I want to ask you to do that. Now I'm going to ask how many in here as a response, you need God to help you with some of these areas. Just raise your hand. All right. Father, I'm asking right now for these that put their hands up, that you would help them and help us, God, to be obedient to your word and to put down ourselves and say, this is the will of God concerning me. And Father, we humble ourselves before your mighty throne and we thank you, Lord, for teaching us your word today. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.